Love you, Buzz, right? Buzz, right, bringing the word. So, what about everyone else? Okay, it sounds like Buzz Ryan's ready to preach. But are you ready to hear the words?
Yeah!
That's better. You know what? Let's do something different. Please rise your feet.
Yeah.
As Buzz Ryan comes to bring the word. Rise your feet, please. I want you now to pray for yourself. Okay? Pray for yourself. Say, Lord, speak to me. Say, Lord, as your servant brings the word, Lord, speak to me in the name of Jesus. Speak to you. Pray for yourself right now. Say, Lord, rid me of any distractions, whether it's mind wandering, whether it's sleepiness, whether it's anything, wherever it might be, Lord, rid me of distractions right now in the name of Jesus, that I will hear your word through me. God has a word for us. Someone said, Master, speak, for your servant hears. Say, Lord, speak to me. Yeah, tell him, Lord, speak to me in the name of Jesus. And pray for the speaker. Pray for Pastor Brian. God will bless him. God will anoint him to boldly, fearlessly speak the word of God, even as God has given it to him. Yes, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
I love you, Jesus. I'm
I don't know if there's anybody who is excited to be here this morning, but I'm excited to be in His presence together with my fellow brothers and sisters worshiping God together. It's fantastic. So good to see you this morning. And I believe what I'm bringing this morning is a word from the Lord. The title is it's a test. So I hope you are ready to just receive what God is saying to us this morning. And I'm going to take our reading. It's quite a lengthy bit of the Bible that I'm going to be reading. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 18. It says this, Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 18. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. And then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up. He loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up. On the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and he placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself, he carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and he said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son." The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." And Abraham looked up and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Amen. Amen. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time. He said, "I swear by myself," this is God speaking, "declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you.
And I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possessions of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, that's you and I, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Praise God. Lord, thank you for the reading of your word. Also, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 to 7. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening. Thank you, Tryphena, for playing keyboards. Tryphena is one of my younger sisters. I have four of them. I was the only son. And I had a terrible time. But thank God he has delivered me. Praise God. You know what it's like being among four women. But, you know, she's a blessing. She started actually playing the piano at the age of five. You know, one of those gifts. She just sat on the piano and she started playing, and she's been, I won't tell you her age, but she's not too far away from me. Yeah, she's going to be getting married as well in about two months' time. Yeah, she has a great testimony. This has got nothing to do with my sermon, by the way, but she has a great testimony. You know, she's waited on God, and she's trusted God. I heard that Tryphena even started, she has faith, this woman has faith. She started her marriage account. For those of you who are looking to get married, I want you to have faith in God and start that marriage account. Amen, Tryphena. How much have you got in that account? So this morning, what I want to do is, I want to encourage you this morning. This is what I've come to do, is encourage you. You know, encouragement is very good. It's good to encourage. Because when you encourage somebody, what it does, it builds them up. They can run the race. they can walk the walk. They will walk quicker. They will run quicker. When you encourage somebody in the Lord, I love to encourage, because it means that you will run the race, you will finish it, and there is a prize that will be waiting for you. So I want to build up your faith in God today. I want to encourage your faith journey, because that's what you are. You're on a journey. You're moving from faith to faith. You keep it going. It's constant. It's daily. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a walk. It's a run. It's a race. Some of us will walk it out. It's a run for others, but it's a race for all of us. I'm in it. You're in it. Every believer in Christ Jesus is in this race. The Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith. There is no other way that you can live but by faith in God. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, 17. Faith is food for your spirit. Is there anybody that is hungry? Faith is food for your spirit. There is no other way that you can live but by faith. Faith in God. But you know, every now and then, your journey, this journey that you are on, the reality is that it gets tough sometimes. Is that not right? You know, this Christian, or is it just me? This Christian walk at times becomes difficult. You feel like giving up. Is there anybody that feels like giving up? Let's be honest. Thank you, Sonia. It's good to be real. I want you to be real with me this morning. But the journey that we are on is so hard. It's tough. We're faced with challenges and difficulties, and we sometimes feel like giving up. But I've come to encourage you this morning to stand.
Amen.
Stand and keep on standing, because you will certainly come to the end and you will receive your reward. This is what the scripture says. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised those who love him. Hallelujah! Lots of people are going through all kinds of trials, difficulties and tests in various areas of their lives. And you're asking yourself, why me? Has anybody ever asked that? Why me? Well, why am I having this pain? Why am I having this cancer? Why am I having this trouble in my workplace? Why isn't things working out for me? And you say to God, I'm serving you faithfully. I'm walking the right path, God. So why am I having to go through this? There was a friend of ours. We used to have a group. The name of the group was Jones & Co. And when we started, one of the days I was walking past, just walking past the house, and I heard someone playing the guitar. And so those days I was crazy about music. My sisters will tell you, I was mad. And so I stopped, and I went to the house, and I asked who was playing the guitar. And I wanted this young man to come and join our group. I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know whether he was a Christian or not. But he came, and he joined us. He joined our group, Jones & Co. And I remember one evening we sat in our home, and we just began to talk about the Lord, because this is what we do at home. And he became so convicted that he literally ran faster than Usain Bolt out of our house, and he went missing for hours. Sometimes God's conviction upon your life will cause you to do that. They couldn't find him. Later on, he married a young lady in one of our churches, probably about 6 miles down the road, in a place called Warsaw. Married a young lady there. And they had a couple of children. Over the last few years, she developed breast cancer. And so she was treated for breast cancer. And they thought that she was getting better, because it's 5 years now, and the doctors had told them that if after 5 years, after you've been having the treatment, if you're okay, then you're cured, then you're okay. 5 years had passed. 5 years, actually, last year was her fifth year, and they were all happy, thinking, what are we going to do for the future? We're going to go here, we're going to do this, etc. They were making plans. And then in September, this young lady began to experience pain in her body. They called my friend at work on the Friday 2 weeks ago. And they said, you need to come to the hospital. He went to the hospital. And when he was at the hospital, they told him that she she has a few weeks to live. So she went into the hospice. I believe it was the Friday she went into the hospice. Within 48 hours, she was gone. She was dead. They didn't have time to plan anything or to do anything. It was just so sudden. What pain. Now, I think differently now about death. If I was to die, the Bible said that I would be in the presence of God, and that is the best place for me. But there are people that you're leaving behind. It's painful for them. She leaves a husband. She leaves two children. She leaves a family behind, and it's painful. It's painful for them because she's no longer in their presence. Can you see this pain? Michelle, months ago, 32-year-old sister just passed away like that. Can you imagine the pain and the heartache that the family is going through? Some of us are struggling in areas that people don't even know that we're struggling in. Perhaps it's an infirmity that you've been battling with for years. Perhaps it's a financial issue. Perhaps it's an addiction. And people will ask, where is your faith? Where is your faith in God? Not realizing that having faith does not exempt you from tragedy. Having faith in God does not exempt you from adversity. Having faith in God does not exempt you from hardship or even pain. I've come to encourage you this morning and say that whatever you are going through in this life as a believer, it's a test. Amen. You cannot say to me, Pastor Brian, I have faith in God, if at some point in your life that faith that you say that you claim that you have is not put to the test. Amen. And even though you have prayed, you bind and you loose, you come against oppositions, you have named and you have claimed and you've cried out to God, you are still faced with trials. Abraham was the father of faith. He was made righteous because of his faith. Because of the faith he had in God. He was justified just as if he had never sinned. This is how much God looks at faith. It's important to him. I know you are right, Abraham. There are some things wrong with you. You've done things wrong. But I will accept you because of your faith in me. The Bible says that without this faith, it is, can you think of this? It is impossible to please God. Without faith in him, it's impossible to please him. Give him whatever you want to give him. But if you're not giving your faith to him, you cannot please him. Because your faith is what carries you. Is what takes you through this life. Because of your faith, Abraham, everywhere your feet tread, you can have it. If you can walk it out, Abraham, it is yours. You can have it. More than that, you are blessed. Your descendants are blessed. They will be as numerous as the sand on the seashore, as the stars in the the sky. You will take possessions of your enemy's cities. All because you stood the test of faith. Abraham's faith had many trials. His wife, Sarah, was barren. It was impossible for her to have children until God stepped in. Abraham was 100 years old when his son was born, Isaac. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 5. And Sarah was 90. Beyond childbearing years. You know what I love about God? He will not do anything for you that you can do for yourself. He's a God of the impossibilities. He takes impossible things. Yeah, because this is who he is. He takes impossible things and he says, come on, step aside. Let me deal with this.
Yes.
Impossible. Impossible. 100 years. 90 years. Man, woman, it's impossible for you to have children. But God says, give me a go at this.
Come on.
There is nothing impossible for God. This is the thing that gets me excited because I know God can.
Yes.
But God tested Abraham. And right now, many of you in this place, you might be facing a test in your life. Listen to this. He said, your son, your only son, the one that you love, the one that you took time to have, the one that was impossible to have, God says, sacrifice him to me. Do you realize what God was asking? From our perspective, it sounds ridiculous. What God was saying is, I want you to tie him up. I want you to put him on some wood on an altar. And then I want you to take out the knife that you have and I want you to stab him to death. And then when you finish that, set him alight. Your trials will always be accompanied with the three P's. There's going to be a place of trial. There's going to be a purpose in your trial. I want you to know that every trial that you face, there is a purpose behind it. But there will always be provisions. A place, purpose, provisions. Place, purpose, provisions. Come on, say it after me. Place, purpose,
provisions.
Say it again.
Place, purpose, provisions.
Amen. If you go away from here, remember that. If you forget everything else that I say, remember your trials, the one that you're facing now, there will always be a place. There will always be purpose. But there will always be provisions. And you might be going through trials right now. But God has your peas ready. So the place of trial. God said, take your son. Your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Go to the region of Moriah. What God was saying is, you know, it's like saying, God is saying, go to London. But where in London, Lord? Take your son and go to London. But where in London? Am I going to Finsbury Park, right by the tube station, just around the corner? Where, God? Go to the region of Moriah, the region, sacrifice it there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. And then Abraham, he sets out on a 3-day journey. He didn't know where he was going exactly. He just knew that it was in the area. area of Moriah. He had to turn on his FNS. Does anybody know what that is? FNS. Faith Navigation System. Ah. That's a new one. Write it down. He had to turn on his faith navigation system. I'm not telling you where it is located, but as you walk by faith, you will come to it. You will know it. I don't know where I'm going, but I am trusting you, Lord. I don't know where I'm going, but I don't know, but it feels right. I don't know where I'm going, but the smell, it smells right. It smells at the right place. I don't know where I am going. It's dark, but I know I am safe because you said that you will never leave me nor forsake me. You are with me always, so I can walk by faith and not by sight. I don't know where I am going, but I'm okay. Because every now and then, I will slip and fall. Every now and then, I will fall. But you're going to pick me up, Lord. I don't know where I'm going, but I am walking this road by faith. If you walk close to the Lord, if you walk close enough to the Lord, He will let you know the place of your trials. You may not know it before you get there, but He will show it to you. In verse 4, it says, on the third day, Abraham looked up. On the third day, he looked up and he saw the place in a distance. You see, 3 in God's numerical order speaks of divine wholeness, completeness, and perfection. On the third day, God showed him the place afar off. As Jesus hung on the cross, on the third day, what did He say? It is finished. It is completed. There is somebody here. I don't know what you're going through, but I hear the Spirit of God saying that you're about to step into your third wholeness, completion, and you can say with confidence, it is finished. Amen. He sees the place afar off. This is what I love about Abraham, because when he got to the place, he said to his 2 servants, the boy and I, the boy and I, we're going to worship, but we're going to come back. God said to you, sacrifice your son, kill your son, burn him for me. But here is Abraham saying, we're going to go, we're going to worship, but we're definitely going to come back to you. What faith. You see, Abraham knew way back then that the key to his breakthrough was worship. And some of you might be going through trials. You have your head bent low because it's painful. It's been years I've been going through this. I don't know how much more I can take, but I hear the Spirit of God saying, tell them, because I reminded Sister Debbie at the beginning of the year that the key to your breakthrough will become your worship. Your worship, your worship, your worship. If you only knew how to worship, I'm telling you, there's some things that is going to be broken down. There are some doors that's going to be opened. There's some delivery that is going to come when you begin to worship God in spirit and in truth. Worship is the key that unlocks is why I'm so excited. Because there's times I'm going to tell you that I have been down and broken. But I hear the Spirit of God saying, get on your knees, Brian, and begin to lift me up. Because the scripture says, if you lift me up, I will draw on men unto myself. Worship is the key. No matter how you're feeling, break through it. Break through. Break through it. Break through the heaviness. Break through the pain. And say, God, I acknowledge you as Lord and King of my life. When you begin to do that, God will never sit where he is and say, come on, come on, you worship. Give me some more. But he's going to get up and he's going to step to where you are, because the Bible says that he indeed dwells in the praises of his people. He sits in it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Your worship is the key. He didn't know how it was going to happen. What he was going to do, but he says we're going to worship and then we're going to come back. If all I can do is offer up my sacrifice of praise to you, God. If I can worship you through the pain. He knew, Abraham, that if he went forward in faith and sacrificed somehow, some way, he was going to be coming back with his son. We will worship and we will come back to you. You see, real, I want to tell you this, that real worship is a sacrifice. You cannot know real worship until you've laid something down. Until you have laid down your Isaac. Until you've laid down everything. You do not know real worship, because real worship requires that you give everything. And that's hard for some of us. But God requires everything. You see, the word worship comes from the word worth-ship. It means something that is valuable. It expresses the worth of something. And what Abraham was doing, he was really giving his all, his prized possession, his only son that he waited years to have. And God said, give him to me. God wants your valuable possession. He wants all of you. He wants all of you. Romans 12 verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This, the Bible says, is your true and proper act of worship. I'm going to read that again, because I believe God wants you to get it in your spirit. Romans 12 verse 1. I urge you. Paul is urging us, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper act of worship. Take your son, your only son, the one you love, the one you've waited years to have, and kill him for me. Lay his life down for me. What are you holding on to? What are you holding on to that you need to lay down? The things you treasure most. God says, give it to me. The things you treasure most, God says, lay it down for me. What do you treasure most in your life? God says, lay it down. Lay it down for me. Until you're able to lay that thing down, you have not yet begun to worship. If you can let go of your son, because your son is the most precious thing to you, your daughter, your job, your money, whatever it is, God says, can you let go of it and lay it down for me? Because until you have done that, church, you have not yet begun to worship Almighty God, because all we're doing is singing some nice songs and raising our hands, but our hearts have not been released and laid down to God. I hear the Spirit of God saying, lay it down. Lay it down, because until you lay it down, you haven't begun to worship. And you know that the release comes. You know the power comes through your worship. Your trial will teach you how to worship. Give me some trials, Lord. Yeah, take me through some more, Lord. Because I want to learn how to worship. Because I know that is going to be the key for my breakthrough. Yeah, I've been on my knees crying out to you for years, but I haven't been worshiping you, God. I've been singing some nice songs, God. I've been going to church Sunday after Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm doing it all, but I'm not worshiping. God says, the key to your breakthrough is through your worship. Is there anybody in here that can worship God even now? There is a purpose. We've got the place. Now there is a purpose for your trials. It's for the glory of God. And maybe God wants to take you to a new level of faith in Him. Because you've been down here for too long. And God said, yeah, let me put the trial in there. Because I want to lift you up to the next level. Maybe He wants to take you to the next level of faith. Maybe He wants to prepare you for the trials that are ahead. Maybe He wants to build your character. I'm reminded of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37 to Genesis chapter 41. Joseph is thrown in the pit. He's sold into slavery. He's accused of rape. He's imprisoned. But through all of that, he ends up as number two in the palace of Pharaoh, over all of Egypt. There is purpose in your trial. Priscilla, when your house burned down, there was purpose in that. I know God, it sounds difficult for me to accept, but there was purpose in that. When you lost your sister, can I say there is purpose in that? The pain that you're going through in your relationship, there is purpose in that. God wants to show His glory in your life. We know. This is a scripture that I always live on. We know, Romans 8:28, that all things working together for good to those that love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. We know that all things working together for your good, for those who are called according to the purpose. God and to those who love him. What, let me encourage you. Whatever you are going through at this moment, as a believer in Christ Jesus, it is a test of your faith. And now there is the place, there is the purpose, and now there is the provisions. You see, every trial that you face, get excited about this. Every trial that you face, God will provide a way out.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You don't know. I can feel it in my spirit because this is what God is saying. Every trial in your life that you face, God says he's going to open the door for you. There is going to be a way out. A way out. Isaac said to his father, "Oh, Dad, I think you've left something. I can see the wood. And I know you have the matches. But where is the lamb?"
"Don't worry, son. God will provide."
Abraham said with his heart racing, it misses a few beats. It's not in the Bible, by the way. I'm just playing with you. And he gets an immediate headache. I don't know if anyone has ever been in that position. Because of the stress, the pressure that comes on you. Where's the lamb, Dad? "Don't worry, son. God will provide." "We have no food, Mom. What are we going to do this evening?" "Don't worry, son. God will provide." "We have no money, Dad. What are we going to do?" "Don't worry, son. God will provide." He gets an immediate headache. He's stressing now. He's sweating. He's going from hot to cold. He's panicking as he grips the hand of Isaac and he begins to walk a little faster. The walk of faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by what we can. Faith and not by sight. I don't know where the lamb is coming from, but according to the God that I serve, he will provide. He's having a conversation in his head, because if I'm right, this is what happens with us. And he doesn't want to speak it out, because he might frighten his son. Because as things stands now, they're very close to the place that God has shown them, and there is no lamb in sight. But he has faith. Faith is all we need. He remembers the scripture. I don't know if it was written then, but he remembers it anyway. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't see the land, God, but I know that you'll provide. He remembers a few years ago, probably 70 years ago, when he was 100. His wife was 90 back then. And she gave birth to a son. He remembers that. And he's thinking to himself, of course God can do it. He doesn't know where the lamb is going to come from. But he knows somehow God is going to provide. When I was in Kenya, one of the jobs that we had to do, apart from praying for people and healing the sick, we provided them with food. And so we were going going around various places dropping food off. On my journey of faith, I met a family who were full of faith. They didn't know where the food was going to come from, but they put a pot on the fire, two pots on the fire, and they began to boil the water. And they put some oil in the oven, and they switch it on, but they use wood. Huh. They set it alight. Can you see this now? And they sat around the pots, and they began to praise God. Not to know that a few minutes' time, we're going to walk in, and we're going to say, here is the rice, and here is the meat. That is faith. Somebody in this place, I just want to encourage you, because we need faith. We need outrageous faith in our God, radical faith. So Abraham reaches the place that God had revealed to him, and then he's climbing up the mountain. Whoo, son. And he's thinking to himself, where is the ladder? Oh, because by now he is probably 106, 107. And, you know, that hill is very steep. Whew, Sam. Oh, God, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? He's talking a lot, you see. Nervous. Has anybody ever been there? You know when you're nervous? You talk a lot. Because he's very, very close to the area and he cannot see a lamb. And so he's having conversations possibly to defer Isaac's thoughts upon the situation, because I guess by now Isaac, he's not stupid. Even though he might be 6 or 7, he knows there is no lamb in place. He walks up the mountain, talking to himself. But you know what God did? On the other side of the mountain, that Abraham could not see and Isaac could not see, there was a ram. Walking up the other side of the mountain, possibly talking to himself. Oh, this is another mountain. I know this one is so steep. You can see that. He gets to the top of the mountain and immediately he's caught in a thicket. Dinner!
Hey.
Somebody say dinner.
Dinner!
Abraham gets to the top. He builds an altar. He ties up his son. He picks him up. He lays him on the sticks on the altar. Can you see this now? They haven't seen the lamb yet. Lays him on the altar. And he's thinking to himself, I cannot believe this, God. This is too close, Dread. You know, man. I mean, he said to himself, you know, I'm going to lay this thing down. I'm going to sacrifice my only son, the son that I love, my prized possession. You know what drove Abraham? He could not see the lamb, but he had faith in God. It was faith that drove him. He lifted up the knife. How many of us would have gone that far? Come on, let's be honest. Herman, would you have gone that far? You don't think so? I don't think if we were honest with ourselves, as much faith that we think that we have in God, how many of us would and our daughters, tie them up, lay them on the altar, getting ready to set them alight. The knife hangs over them, ready to come down to stab them to death. As he is about to do this, he hears God's voice. When you hear God's voice, isn't it comforting? In the midst of the trial, you hear God's voice. Whether you turn to the scriptures and he speaks to you, whether he uses a brother or a sister at that moment and he speaks to you, whether you hear the audible voice of God at that moment, the voice of God becomes, oh yes, convicting, and it becomes comfortable for us. Abraham, stop! Stop what you're doing. This is only a test. Sorry that I have to take you through this, but it's only a test. Lay the knife down. Get your boy off the altar. And take him back. Because you have worshipped me. You have worshipped me. You have laid down your possession, your prized possession upon the altar. You have worshipped. You have worshipped. Untie him and go back to the servants. Let them know that God is God. That there is a God in Israel. That God is mighty. That God is a miracle worker. Let them know that God says, I was going to sacrifice my son, but now I'm coming back because God provided a lamb. You know what I love about God? Is sometimes he takes us right to the very edge. When we're about to fall off, when the pressure is increased, when we cannot take anymore, at that moment, we are ready to call it a day. God says, Mary, John, Joseph, Amelia, what are the names? Susan, Jeffrey, Sam. Give me some names. Peace. Stop. And they look around behind them. There's a lamb that God had provided. Hallelujah. I think we're getting this. Please stand to your feet. I'm closing right now. I believe you're encouraged. Try feeling, please. Yeah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If there is somebody that knows how to worship, just worship him right about now. Remember what I said about the key for your breakthrough is in your worship. You know how to worship God. Even while there is no music, if you know how to lift him up and praise him, just praise him now. Come on, praise him now.